Welcome to another sermon podcast from Central Presbyterian Church in Atlanta, Georgia. This episode will feature a sermon delivered by the Reverend Shannon J. Kirshner. The sermon is based on scripture from Psalm 148 and John chapter 13 verses 31 through 35. Central Sunday morning service for the 18th of May, 2025, the fifth Sunday of Easter, was streamed to our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. A complete video or sermon audio replay of this service may be found on cpcatlanta.org. Select the upper right menu, and then Sermons Under Worship.
Thank you for our worship leaders. On this fifth Sunday of Eastertide, we are in John's Gospel, the 13th chapter, verses 31 to 35. I invite you to listen for God's living word. When he, Judas, had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in God's self, and will glorify him at once. Little children, I'm with you only a little longer. You will look for me. And as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I'm going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Holy wisdom, holy word, thanks be to God. When I spoke this week with a couple of my preacher friends about this passage, one of them, who still has young children at home, told me it always makes her think of the movie The Grinch Who Stole Christmas. Now, it's been a very long time since my own children and I have seen that movie, so I asked her to tell me more. She first reminded me of just who the Grinch was, the green Muppet who lives with his sweet dog on a snowy cliff, spending all day hating Christmas, deciding to try and steal it. "He's a mean one, Mr. Grinch," she sang. And then she brought to my attention that according to Dr. Seuss, the real problem with the Grinch was not just what he did due to his hatred of Christmas when he stole all their things, but that his heart was two sizes too small. But near the end of the story, she continued, the Grinch changes. He changes because he watches those Whos down in Whoville, the tall and the small, as they join hands and start singing without any toys at all, since he had taken all of them. And because of what he sees, the Grinch realizes that maybe Christmas doesn't come from the store. Maybe Christmas means just a little bit more. And his heart grew three sizes that day, even big enough to break the X-ray. "Don't you see the comparison?" she asked me. "Don't you see that in this passage, Jesus is telling his friends, his own disciples, that they are to have that same kind of expansive, heart-growing, boundary-breaking love and live out of it, just like we witness in that children's movie?" Yes, my friend is brilliant. I never would have made that comparison in a million years. But not only is she brilliant, she's also right. After all, just remember who Jesus is talking to. Remember the context of his words. In this moment in the Gospel of John, Jesus is saying a long goodbye to his friends. The Last Supper has been shared, their feet have been washed, and at that very moment, authorities are searching high and low for the one who raised Lazarus from the dead and who threatens their hold on power. And into that very thick, very intimidating moment, it is in there when Jesus chooses to give them a new commandment. "Love one another," he says. He does not say "like one another." He doesn't say "tolerate one another." Neither does he say "love those who are close to you, who are similar to you." No, he says, "Love one another as I have loved you. By this, people will know you are my disciples. They will know you by your love." Show the world who God is by living out an expansive, heart-growing, boundary-breaking love just like he did. It's rather amazing that on a night full of threat and betrayal, with suffering and death lurking closely at hand, Love one another, is what Jesus tells them, as I have loved you. Recently, the Right Reverend Marian Edgar Buddy, the Bishop of the Episcopal Diocese of Washington, D.C., gave the first inaugural lecture in honor of Robert Bella, the author of Habits of the Heart, just to name one. Her topic was Finding Our North Star in Tumultuous Times. And as a part of her lecture, she reflected on how we as people of faith are being called on even more strongly today to say what we know to be true and to testify to what we've seen. In particular, for those of us who are Christian, she challenged us to live out and reflect the love we saw and heard in Jesus' ministry and teaching, a tough, robust love that does not shrink in the face of hatred or anger or fear. For people are dying to see it and to know it, she said, this heart-expanding kind of love. People are thirsty for it, desperate for it, especially in our country right now. She discovered that truth after she preached on January 21st of this year at the National Cathedral, a sermon that became the focus of national and international attention, when she turned to the then newly inaugurated president and asked him to have mercy and compassion on those who are scared, including those who feel the most vulnerable, immigrants, refugees, people of color, the LGBTQ community. She also asked the president to recognize the dignity of every human being. I heard the sermon, I imagine many of you did, and the turn she took there at the end when she made that plea for mercy flowed directly from her words on Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And as she stated in the lecture, let's be honest, it was a pretty simple sermon, one that is heard often in different churches all around the country, one that is preached often by all kinds of ministers and religious leaders. And yet, she continued, the response to that sermon, what she called her simple sermon, revealed for her the perilous times in which we're living. Some people were completely enraged by her words, even calling for her to be deported. But for so many others, she remarked, they found those simple requests to mirror the mercy, compassion, and love of Jesus, to be like a cup of cool water for their parched soul. They found hope in those words that simply mirrored Jesus' own words, his life, and his ministry. In the wake of the tremendous response to what she called her simple sermon, the bishop also discovered in herself a deeper responsibility to take even more seriously the myriad of ways we live out our faith in both our private and our public lives. Again, in this moment, we as people who follow Jesus are being called to speak of what we know as to how God expects us to live in relationship with each other and with our larger communities, and to testify to what we have seen in Jesus' life as witnessed to us in Scripture. Love one another, Jesus said, as I have loved you. Practice the same kind of expansive, heart-growing, boundary-breaking love we see flow from Jesus. For that kind of love witnesses to the central reality of all creation, the vastness of cosmic love. Zion R. Butler Brass wrote, that kind of love witnesses to truth, dignity, justice, and beauty that is present in and with all. It mirrors the universal love of God, which is the very meaning and purpose of everything. Love one another. They will know whose you are by your love. But it is not easy what Jesus commands us to do, not at all. In one of the last books he wrote, C.S. Lewis contrasted the kind of love we typically practice with the kind of love Jesus is calling us to practice. Lewis claimed that when we think about love, we tend to think in terms of what he called need love. Lewis called it need love because it goes out from us to the other person in order to bring back into ourselves something that we need or value. It could be pleasure or beauty, a self-esteem boost, the knowledge that we are loved, etc. It's this kind of give and take love. It's an acquiring kind of love. If he were to draw it, Lewis would draw it as a circle. It's a love that goes out from us and then returns to us. Then, Lewis claims, the kind of need love was not the kind of love Jesus was commanding of his disciples. Rather, Jesus was describing the nature of agape love, God's kind of love, the kind of love which we as people created in God's image and made to be the body of Christ are called to practice. By the way, this is all love as an action verb. And God's kind of love, Lewis asserted, is not drawn as a circle, but rather an arc. Think about that for just a moment. God's arc kind of love, the kind of love Jesus lived, goes out to the other and then it stops. God's arc kind of love is a gift meant simply to enhance the other without any thought of a return. God's arc kind of love, the kind of love Jesus commanded his friends to practice, goes out to the other, not to bring something back to itself, but just simply to give. It's not about anything owed or required, not any kind of a response. This kind of God love, this arc kind of love, is only interested in empowering and strengthening the other for their own good and joy and freedom. And it is this arc kind of love, what Lewis termed gift love, that Jesus told his friends to practice for one another, to practice for all others, as he spent time with them on that thick, dark night of threat. It is a love that is risky. It's a love that involves rushing toward those people and problems that everyone else is running away from. It's a love that always adds more chairs to the table when it's easier to simply say, we have no more room. It is a love we see demonstrated throughout Jesus' life, even to and through his death. It is a love that will expand our hearts three times as large. But make no doubt about it, practicing that kind of arc love, this kind of heart-expanding love, can be scary. Just ask Bishop Buddy, who received death threats as a response to her simple sermon. And yet still, we are a people who are called to actively engage in arc love, gift love, love that reaches out from us to the other without any expectation of a return. Because we are a people who follow Jesus. And Jesus the Christ is God's living, breathing, flesh and blood definition of arc love. Jesus did not do what he did to receive affirmation or accolades or even love back. Jesus did this kind of love simply as an unconditional, free, utterly astounding gift from God, period. And on that night, as he looked at death in the face, he gave us this new commandment to love one another in a similar way. A commandment to always move in the direction of practicing expansive, heart-growing, boundary-breaking love, knowing we're never going to get there, but that God just asks us to move in the right direction. It is what we know and about which we testify. When my friend talked with me about the Grinch, she ended our conversation by pointing out something I had actually not paid much attention to. The reason the Grinch changed was because of what he saw in the way the Whos lived their lives. It was their witness of loving one another, of even loving him, despite all he had done. That's what expanded his heart. It's also what Bishop Buddy discovered when she learned that a plea for mercy, compassion, and love made at a national moment felt like pure balm for so many. I have no doubt God used her words to expand some hearts. She was a kind of who for people who were feeling exhausted and scared. And she's likely to never fully realize the power of what she did following the lead of the Spirit and reflecting the love of Jesus in that very particular preaching moment. Love one another as I have loved you, Jesus commanded his friends. After all, we never know who may be watching. And we never know how God might use the arc of our love to move us ever onward in the direction of beloved community and a transformed world. So perhaps let's try to be a who. Let's mirror the way of Jesus, and maybe the Grinches of our world might notice, and God might expand their own hearts. May it be so. Amen.
We are glad you joined us for this podcast from Central Presbyterian Church. Central is a welcoming congregation of the Presbyterian Church USA located in downtown Atlanta across from the state capitol. For more information about the life, work, and ministries, please visit our website at cpcatlanta.org. We also invite you to join us for worship and Sunday school and experience this exciting and diverse body of believers who seek to be bearers of God's justice in the world. Thanks again for listening.